Hello, and welcome to episode 67 of Speak Beastie for July 29th, 2018.
I'm Amy.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Elena.
Yay, it's Elena.
Hooray. Hi. She has returned to us.
I missed you guys. I've always been there in your hearts, or something cheesy like that.
You picked a reasonably eventful episode to join us.
Did
for.
I? Did something happen?
Just a little bit of things.
Did I miss the rat memo that ran across my desk and tore itself up?
Yes.
There were so many, it was more like a herd of rats.
Yeah.
What is that called? What is a group of rats called? A ratatouille? I'm not,
like a colony? No, that's ants.
Checking it out right now. is referred to as a mischief of rats.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing to know. I'm glad we looked that up.
A mischief of rats has brought us magical news.
Hooray.
So, today's Phoenix Register, we're jumping right in, because we've got the Mischief Register.
Yes, an honorary for this week.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Hey you! Yes you! The magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint, just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind-the-scenes features. But wait, there's more! Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wiggs Knees and How.
We're jumping right in because we have a few things to talk about. So, this is a very brief overview of some things we learned at Comic-Con last weekend that seem significant. I'm sure there's a lot to say about each of these things. There's also things that I'm not going to touch on that we learned, but I just kind of picked the most important points because, spoiler alert, we have a trailer to talk about today. So, stuff we learned at Comic-Con. Allison Sudol was literally not allowed to say anything about what happens to Queenie in this movie.
That's they because she's questions. Stressed, yeah. And I'm upset.
So, she says nothing.
As we've predicted, Queenie is going to be a very integral role in this film.
Do we think she's going to the bad side? Is that what this means?
No.
I think so. I think so.
I think so, too. Like, why else would she be allowed to say literally anything?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Oh, man. It's got me stressed out. Like, I just need, like, a massage and some nice tea after seeing her face in every moment of this trailer.
That can be arranged.
Yeah.
Another thing that happened, there was a poster that we got.
There was a poster.
Thanks, Mina Lima. Appreciate the poster.
See, I thought the Comic-Con, like, the official SDCC poster was amazing. And then they released the actual poster, and I was like, what is this? who, like, skipped the important classes of graphic design and made this a thing?
I mean, I don't have, like, a critical design eye to look at it that way, but I did find it interesting that the graphics they put around, like, the edge of the poster were things we already knew about. Like, there wasn't any new information on there. If anything, yeah. The headline was interesting. The fate of one... What was it? The fate of one will change the future of all?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So yeah, that was cool. But then that phrase also appeared in the trailer, and subsequently everyone forgot about it because trailer. So, there was that. Elena, I already kind of know what you're going to say to this. So if you don't want to waste your energy, it's fine. But if you do, that's okay too. Johnny Depp showed up at Comic-Con in full character and gave a speech about no madges, and everyone was confused.
Yes. I have many, many thoughts about Johnny Depp, as I'm sure everyone knows and is very tired of hearing.
I have no idea.
But I don't know. It just didn't seem like the right move to me, considering all of the flack they've been getting about having him in it at all, to kind of like, because the last time that I can remember somebody, you know, unexpectedly coming out at Comic-Con in costume was like when Hiddleston came out as Loki, and everyone was super excited because it's Loki and Hiddleston. Like, who's going to complain about that? But this just seemed like they were trying to do something similar to that, but with a person who's being very stigmatized by a lot of people right now. So
it was just kind of awkward, honestly. Yeah, it was like, I didn't really get the point.
Yeah, and I've seen lots of people that, like, because I was pretty much just scrolling through the feed that whole day, just being like, I need to know what every person is breathing at Comic-Con. And there a lot of people that were there that were reporting on it were just like, the room felt awkward. Like, you can hear some people cheering, but you can hear a lot of people booing. And it's just like, that's not a good look for WB to me. I feel like they should they may not like it, but they should face the decision they've made at this point. It's like, if you want to be like, okay, we put him in the movie, fine, but don't, like, you know, flaunt him in the promotional stuff, because it's just going to make people more flustered. And I could do a whole 2-hour episode about my thoughts, but I won't, because we have cooler stuff to talk about. But yeah, in short, everyone is confused. Yes.
Yeah. No, that was a good point.
And that is all we have to say about that.
Another piece of content we got was a series of images of the cast sort of divided up into their respective gangs. And there was, like, one that had all the bad guys on it. And Abernathy's hanging out with the bad guys, which...
That little bugger. What is... I want to know what he is up to, and they don't like it.
I mean, he wasn't bad in the first film, but he wasn't good. And if you're like me and you needed a refresher on who Abernathy is, he's the guy that tries to stop Queenie from leaving Makuza with her case, and she's like, I have lady products in here, and he's like, oh, never mind, go on ahead.
It made him a changed man. It truly did.
Clearly.
Corrupted. He won't, you know?
Yeah. Those lady things, they'll really get to you.
They'll do that. But, like, what is this random guy doing on the dark side? Like, I don't know. It's so weird.
I mean, maybe that's just they thought he aesthetically looked nice there, or maybe that's a clue about...
Yeah. Well, there's a shot of him looking shifty, like, later in the trailer, too, isn't True. There? So, I mean, yeah, like, I think that was in the notes somewhere. Huh. We'll probably get to it later. But
I just think it's so strange that, like, he's even back for the second film. Like... He was such, like, a one-off character that it's just like, okay, yeah, I guess there's more, like, to him than we thought.
Right. He's like Ludo Bagman. Like, okay, thanks.
Yeah, that's probably a better comparison, because I was going to say he's kind of like a low-key, like, Mark Evans, but he does a little bit more than Mark Evans. At least he has lines.
Additional tidbit, according to Dan, it's not explained exactly why Jacob remembers things.
I'm flustered, y'all. I swear I'm excited about this trailer. I apologize that my sad feels are getting out first, but I feel weird about that. I'm not mad, but I feel weird.
How would you not tie up that loose end? Like, you would have to. Especially after the debating people have done after that movie came out about this. Like, you have to address it.
But also, Jo knows she's got 5 movies. Maybe it's going to come back later.
But, like, what, he just magically remembers everything and we're not going to find out why for another 3 movies?
Like, I guess.
I mean, I would be cool if he says, like, he doesn't, like, maybe if he's like, I don't know, I just... You know, something happened, and then we find out that something that happened at a later time, like that, I might be okay with. But it's like any other way going about it just feels like it's not even like a plot hole. It's like a plot sinkhole created by an Obscurus tearing through town. Like,
if they just completely don't address it, that's going to be really awkward.
Yeah. So that's weird.
Yeah. His quote is, "It's not explained exactly why, but he does have some recollection for sure." And that's about it.
Maybe he's lying. Maybe he's trying to hold back. I don't know.
That's cool. That I'm fine with.
They really aren't allowed to say very much about this movie at all. So
yeah,
that could be.
Well, at least I feel like they did at least get to say more than the first time, because I was like, that was the Comic Con that I got to go to, and the panel was like 4 minutes long, and it was just like, can you talk about this? Well, nope, goodbye. Enjoy your wands. Like, they just couldn't say a dang word, and it was really funny.
Yeah. Last important tidbit from Comic Con. I mean, there's more, and we could talk more about this, but we will get back to it at a later time. Jude Law confirms Dumbledore is not teaching Transfiguration at this stage in his career.
But how?
How and why, really?
How is this the first we're hearing of this? That's why.
I guess, you know, at this stage, maybe he was like a sub for, you know, Defense Against the Dark Arts. And they're like, wow, this guy's got an aptitude for Transfiguration. And then he gets brought on full time as a Transfiguration teacher for most of his career. I don't know. Maybe. But it's...
Or maybe he's like Snape. Like, I mean, Snape teaches potions, but we all know he really wants the DA job, so... Excuse me.
The Dada. The only thing I'll be annoyed with is if they try to, like, play something with, like, the curse on the Dada professor thing. Like, no. Hashtag too soon.
Yeah.
Like, stop. Yeah. Sit down, think about what you've done, and get back to it, because it's just not going to be an okay thing.
Yeah, it's not a thing yet. Yeah, I don't know. There are ways they could make it agree with book canon. Like, they could say, well, we said Professor Merrythought taught at Hogwarts for 50 years, but we didn't say what this teacher taught, so they just, like, switched at some point or whatever. Like, they could pull something like that, or it could just be the canon disagrees. Like, and they won't explain it.
I mean, there's no such thing as canon anymore in this fandom. It's just a social construct, really.
That's fair. As much as I don't like to admit it, it's true.
It's fine. We'll get through it.
Yeah. Okay, so. Anyway. Phoenix Register did it. Yay.
So, I will post. We did have a lot of mail from you guys this week, but... we have a lot to get to, since there's a lot of news and we really, really, really want to dedicate a lot of time to this trailer. So, we will be skipping Owl Post just for this episode, but on the next episode, we'll be answering a lot of those owls. So hang in there.
The owls are tired this week and, just needed like a rest.
Yes. Yeah. It's vacation. Like, yeah. It's like their paid vacation. They're like sipping Mai Tais. In the owlry of Jamaica. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Yay. Is that a thing? Do people do? Probably not. I should stop.
I think probably. So.
Trailer!
There was a trailer. Did you guys hear about this?
Just this little thing, you know.
What is. There was a vehicle that hooks up to the back of your car? What?
Yes. Today's episode is brought to us by transportation.
Wait, that was like 3 episodes ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was a thing, wasn't it?
So first off, what did you guys think? Like, first reactions. Did you love it?
First of all, Megan, you cannot be mad at this trailer because it's like 3 minutes long. So I think all those months of you being super angry at WB, I think they heard you. And they were like, we got to make this trailer as long as possible so that Megyn Kelly chick doesn't come and, like, lead a raid on our place here.
Yeah, if you actually, this is proven by science, if you slow it down and put the trailer audio in reverse, it says, are you happy, Megyn? It's great.
Well, and what happened was I played myself because I spent, like, hours combing through this trailer to put this discussion together because it was so long. So, but I'm not complaining. I think everything I wanted. I mean, there was so much. Like, you can't be disappointed with it. There was so much.
It's this trailer, I will be super honest, like, it was kind of like Frozen for me. The first time I watched it, I was actually, and I think it's the first time in history I've ever watched a Potterverse trailer and have not been very, very super screamy excited. And I thought I would
even
be,
with
which
Hogwarts
was the weird
in
part.
It?
Even with Hogwarts, on the first view, now mind you, I'm saying this is the first viewing, and I think it was because I was still, like, so bitter about all this Johnny Depp crap that I was like, every time I saw him, I was just like, what a butthead. And I just, it ruined it for me. It took me out of it. But then I watched it like 7 more times, and then I was screaming and flailing, and I scream and flail every time when I see it now. So it's fine.
I think for me, when it started out, I was like, ah, we've seen this shot. So like the Hogwarts thing kind of lost its, effect on me at that point. But then as soon as it went into the bog art scene, I was like, oh, this is good.
I'm like, my whole body is like not ready to be in Hogwarts again. Like, I'm just I'm gonna weep so profusely, it's not even a joke. Like,
I have an unpopular opinion to share, and Elena, I don't want you to hurt me after I say it.
Okay, go for it.
I like the way they've characterized Grindelwald. I think he's, like, kind of creepy. And, like, when you see him, you get that sort of, like, fear going down your spine. But it's not quite the same way that they portrayed Voldemort.
I agree.
And that was something I was kind of concerned about. I don't know. It's not bothering me.
Oh, why would I be mad about that?
Yeah.
I have zero problems with the portrayal of Grindelwald. I just have problems with the person underneath the Grindelwald. But Grindelwald as a character is, like, a really, like, redonkulous character, and I am excited to see how they address, like, you know, basically Wizard Hitler in this film. Like, you know, so far, everything in, you know, and we'll get to it later in the discussion, like, some of the shots they have are very reminiscent of dictators, and I think it's going to be really cool how they play him. I just don't like Johnny Depp, but that has nothing to do with Grindelwald as a character.
I agree. Like, I was so concerned. Like, I was like, I don't know what direction we're gonna go with this. Like, Johnny Depp's such a character actor. Like, he's very over the top. But then when I saw this, I was like, okay, like, I get it. And this is like, I don't know, the whole voiceover underneath, like, kind of like gave me the creeps. I was like, oh, this guy's so, like, calm and, like, authoritative, and it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, okay, love him or hate him, his notoriety as an actor is playing these, like, out of left field, super creepy, weird characters and kind of disappearing into them.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I feel like that's what's happening here for me.
Yeah, I think that, like, I was very baffled by a lot of the decisions they made in terms of, like, his costuming and everything, but it's, like, it's kind of starting to work, I guess.
I completely respect if, like, he, as a person, is too distracting. Like, I'm not trying to discount that opinion. I'm just sort of saying, like, I don't know. It's working for me, even if I don't want it to be.
Yeah. No, and I totally can agree with that. Like, I guess I'm just jaded enough that I can separate it at this point. But, like, I really do think that it's going to be a good film. And that's why, as much as I dislike the guy, like, I'm still going to see it. I'm still, obviously, I'm about to talk about it for the next hour and a half, you know, so it's not like, I don't think it's going to work. I'm disappointed in WB's decision, but I'm not going to let their decisions impact my experience of this film, because there's so many good people behind the production of this film, and I know that there's a good message behind the film, but I think that just in terms of, like, like Grindelwald the character, I feel like the look is starting to work for me. I think the longer, scragglier hair looks a lot better than the weird, you know, bro buzz cut thing he had going on in the first one.
Still, it's kind of the Graves cut. But yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Shall we start at the very beginning?
It's
a very
best
good place
to
start.
Yeah,
well, we both took your bait.
Thank you. I appreciate
what happens when you podcast with musical dorks.
We have to have a sing-along at least once per episode, so, you know.
Yeah. That's what happens when I bait people with Sound of Music references. So, if you're following along with our discussion, and you have, like, the trailer in front of you, I'm going to give you timestamps throughout our conversation. If you don't, then sorry. I'm still going to give you timestamps.
Because she's a rock star.
From 0 seconds to 5 seconds in, we open with a shot of Hogwarts, which is highly reminiscent of Harry Potter trailers of yore, and also of the teaser trailer we got a few months ago.
Yes.
And that is the tea on that.
Tears.
I feel like
days.
We've already talked about this.
Yeah.
We got ahead of ourselves there.
That's right. It's very
previous
exciting.
Discussion.
So from about 5 seconds to 10 seconds, we get a shot of Dumbledore walking down a corridor, and it's a shot of the back of his head, which looks a lot like the opening of the first film, where we see the Graves and Grindelwald hairline parallel.
I love that you concluded that, because I was like, as I was looking at it, I was like, something about this feels familiar in my soul, but I couldn't figure out what it was. And then you said that, and I was like, oh, there it is.
Because there are a lot of parts of Jude Law you could show to yes. generate interest.
Oh,
and the
yes.
back of his neck isn't the first one I would have thought of, but it works.
One of my favorite Jude Law moments from this trailer comes in a couple seconds. I'll wait till you get to it.
I mean, it doesn't have to be, like, so hyper-organized that we can't jump around, but...
Well, then I'll say it, darn it.
Do it. Do it.
I just... The little smirk on that Nugget's face when Newt, like, conjures up that freaking desk is just so, like, he just has this little smirk when he's like, you know, I'm afraid of a desk job, and he's just like, bro, same. And it's just, it's the cutest little, like, Dumbledore moment. And I'm sure I'll get to it 1,000 more times in this trailer, but they had to screw up on the casting of Grindelwald because they did so well on the casting of Dumbledore. They're just like, we have to make up for this. We have to balance life out or the universe will tip too far. He's excellent.
So the voiceover from Newt, he says, I'm scared, Professor Dumbledore. That's the first thing we hear. And then so from about 10 seconds to 36 seconds in, is the Boggart scene. We fade into the Defense Against the Dark Arts classroom where Dumbledore is teaching a bunch of students who appear to all be from different houses to fight a Boggart.
Can we just talk for a second about how adorable the kid who's playing young Newt is? Like, oh my god. He's so precious.
Like, where did they find this boy?
I was amazed at how much he kind of looked like young Eddie.
Yeah, he has the mannerisms perfectly.
Good.
Like the little like tilt down of the head, like while he's talking to the ground, kind of like is so good.
Yes,
but that kid's name is Joshua Shea, by the way.
Yes.
Just props. Oh.
He's yeah. That was another amazing call by the casting department. Like he sounds like him. He looks like him, and he just perfectly captures. Scared but cute little puff, and I just want to.
I need
hug
a
him.
Picture of them together, him and Eddie. Like,
oh, I'm sure there will be plenty.
Yes, that needs to happen.
So after we hear Newt say, "I'm scared, Professor Dumbledore," Professor Dumbledore responds with, "Everyone is scared of something," which is like
such a good line,
such character foreshadowing.
I just had a moment as you said, and Professor Dumbledore says, where I was like. I think it actually hit me, like, oh my god, wait, really, more Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to like see him as a professor, which is kind of awesome.
I don't know why, the way that you said that, it was just, like, caused, like, a whole, like, I just fell over a little bit. It's happening.
Mystical voice, I'm sure.
Yes. Professor Dumbledore.
So... He says that a Hufflepuff girl
Woo.
Shouts, ridiculous, ridiculous. How do you guys say? I say ridiculous in my head, which isn't right.
Ridiculous.
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 At an unseen Boggart, and everyone applauds, and then it's Newt's turn. Fun fact, the Boggart is hiding in the same wardrobe that Lupin uses decades later to teach Boggarts.
what can we say? The first one was not as much of a financial success as they were hoping. WB is making some budget cuts.
They couldn't buy a new wardrobe. They would have had to go to IKEA. It would have been a whole thing.
Yeah.
And
I kind of, like, canonically enjoy it, though.
They just, Hogwarts just has the one wardrobe. That's it.
Just one.
And it's worth noting that a lot of people are pointing out the little Slytherin girl in this scene as possibly being a young Leta Lestrange.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In Slytherin robes, which is definitely interesting.
And I think someone in the common room, I can't quite remember who it was, pointed out that, like, when everybody's laughing at Newt, like, she's the only one not laughing.
Oh.
I was like, oh, little baby.
That's adorbs.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the fact that Newt's greatest fear is a desk job, because this is a reasonably effective way to establish his character for people who may not have even seen the first film. Like, right away you get a sense of who this weird guy is, and also kind of a clever method of getting us right into his childhood and his background, because that we understand what that means and what that says about him as a kid. And the students are laughing at him, which makes him kind of an outcast from the very beginning. So, is it maybe a little corny? Yes. Does it work? In my opinion, also yes.
This, to me, was, like, the most adorable moment in this entire trailer. I was like, yeah. Of course, it's a little desk. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, it just, and like I said, that was one of my favorite Dumbledore moments of the trailer, too, was just his reaction to that. Like, really? This is your greatest fear? Okay, I can see it. you know, but it also just, like, it was funny for me as a writer. I was like, oh, he's scared of a desk? No. And then I was like, oh, wait, yeah, that kind of desk.
I just love, like, the little pile of papers that, like, flutters into place on the desk.
Little pile of papers. There's so many papers, so much work to do. And he's afraid of paperwork. Yeah. Really. Bro. Same.
I know. Aren't we all afraid of paperwork, to be honest? Yeah. So then, Newt's spell turns into the WB logo, which is very artsy and fun, and I like it.
Yes.
Yep.
Around 37 seconds in through about 46 seconds, we get the logos and the new music.
Yeah. I love this music. Like, first thing I thought of was it's so, like, ominous and almost like systematic. Like, you can hear, like, the set pace of the music.
Yeah,
it kind of makes me think of, like, dictatorship, like, not being able to think outside the box. Like, it's got, like, this very uniform, like, you will go this way type thing. Yeah, which is really cool.
Like, 4/4 time, like, very hard downbeat, just, like, boxed in sort of music.
Yeah. I love that you pointed that out, because, like, I kind of got this feeling where I was both, like, terrified and thrilled at the same time. It was like, oh, it's happening, but also, oh, God, it's happening. Like, you know, it's just got this, it's got, like, a heartbeat to it, and it's just, it freaks you out while also getting you, like, psyched for whatever it is you're about to see.
I love that you called it that. That's a really cool descriptor. Yeah.
So, it's a pulse.
47 seconds to about 51 seconds, we have a statue moving around. I'm not sure who the statue lady is. I don't know if we know her yet. And then there's a jump cut to Tina, who looks like she's lurking around the bottom of the same statue. It's hard to tell with, like, the way the trailer's edited, but I think it's the same statue. And she's so kind too. Of... Okay, good.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. She kind of has her collar pop. She's hiding behind it. We saw this shot, I think, in the teaser. And it looks like the statue might possibly be, like, granting her entrance to something.
Yeah. I feel like this is inside the French ministry. Like, that was kind of, like, the impression I got. I don't know why she's sneaking around in the ministry. I don't know. She's not supposed to be there or whatever.
I mean, that's kind of her MO at this point.
Right.
Sneaky Tina.
Yeah, but, like, the statue, I don't know, it looks a lot like, I was looking up, like, French sculptures, because I was like, I don't know, maybe this is French.
Yeah.
And it looks very similar to a lot of the ones that I was seeing images of.
But then again, I mean, most female nude statues kind of look the same, so.
They're all made by a bunch of bros who don't understand the female form.
Yeah, so, I don't know. It could be French, could be Roman, could be English, I don't know. But I'm going with the French ministry.
It's probably a safe bet.
Yeah, I'd say it's a fair assessment.
And while this is going on, we get a voiceover of Grindelwald, and he's saying, magic blooms. And this phrase sort of carries over several
scenes. Like, what is this accent he's doing? I just...
Well, it makes it easy to tell who's talking. A lot of the voiceovers in the trailer, I was like, I don't know who that is. Yep. But every time he talks, I'm like, that's Grindelwald.
Yep.
So it's helpful in that regard.
That's the bro.
So from 52 to 56 seconds, we get circus things.
Bubbles.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We see, like, this woman walking out. Like, it looks like the tent. Like, there's, like, a tent drape. And then she's kind of walking out, like, into the ring of the circus, almost. So
it reminded me of, like, the door beads that I insisted on having when I was in elementary school.
Girl, same!
Yeah, that was fun until they got tangled.
Yeah.
but yeah.
Like, I'm wondering, is this the Maledictus? Like, it kind of looks like Claudia Kim.
Yeah, that shot. Yeah, she's got, like, the hair and the costume.
I thought it was her, too.
Yeah, similar. What is it with Credence lurking in these alleys, though?
He's a creepy dude.
That's just, like, his aesthetic, Mom. Let him live his life.
At 55 seconds, there's a guy that gets trapped in a bubble. And then 56, there's, like, a bunch more people in bubbles.
All the bubbles.
Intelligent trailer breakdown. People in bubbles.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
I mean, that's fair. Mm-hmm. As I said, fair assessment. Fair assessments all around.
So also, at this point, we kind of get a shot of some circus signs that we can actually read, which is pretty awesome. On the left of those signs, it looks like some sort of a sea serpent. On the right is Oni. I don't know how you say that, but it's O-N-I. Which is a kind of troll or ogre in Japanese folklore.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're looking at now.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, just all the happy, fun creatures. The one in front of Credence looks like a angry Melusine Starbucks logo.
Yeah.
See, I feel like not only is the film getting darker, but it seems like the creatures that we're seeing are also darker.
Yeah.
Like in the first one, it was all these nice little moon calves and a niffler and like little babies I wanted to take home. And now it's like fire dragon and like evil Japanese troll. And I don't know. It just.
And the infant demonic? Like what?
Yeah. What is that about? So around 56 seconds, where we see the people in bubbles, we get a sign in the background that we've seen before, I think, in the still shots they released. And it says, Circus Arcanus Museum of Living Curiosities, but in French. Uh-huh. And I would like to thank Marjolaine for allowing me to butcher her name again and for translating that for me. She's so great about doing those
things. This is the greatest show. Of magic. That's all I can think. I'm so obsessed with that movie, and it's just, I'm just like, I get the magical version of this. There better be musical numbers.
That would be fun if it was like a musical. I'd be down with that.
And it's also great because it's like a low-key, you know, crossover to Potter musical because Zac Efron.
Well, anyway. Yeah, and like you guys saw Les Mis, right? Eddie Redmayne can sing.
Yeah,
He played my least favorite character in, like, the entirety of literary history.
Yeah, he's kind of a little bitch, isn't he?
I'm so glad you said it, because I wanted to, but I was like, is that too mean? Megan, you're my soul sister.
I mean, I've only seen the movie. I've never seen the stage production.
The stage production, he's, in fact, worse. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Great.
Anyway, but Eddie is perfect.
And then on this section, the voiceover is Grindelwald saying, only in rare souls. So we have a sentence so far that reads, magic blooms, only in rare souls. Dun, dun, dun.
Burr, burr, burr. Yeah, that, like, is very Salazar Slytherin to me. Just kind of like, oh, you have to be a super extra special sauce in order to have magic. And it's like, I feel like there's at some point, I don't know why I worded it like that, but we'll go with it. But I feel like that's kind of going to play really well, like, as if since he's the antagonist of this film, I feel like that's going to play really well against, like, a Hufflepuff protagonist as Newt. Because, like, it's a very, the opposite of that is a very Helga sort of, you know, Helga Hufflepuff take on that. Like, you know, you don't need to be a rare soul. You can just be a person who's magical. And I don't know if maybe that's too, I'm thinking too far into it, but that was just kind of like that phrase, because I think somebody in one of our MuggleNet chats, I don't know if it was the Common Room or another one, but they were saying like, oh, I feel like that's going to end up on a bunch of t-shirts, like magic blooms only in rare souls. And I was like, can we not put the dictator phrases Etsy t-shirts?
Maybe avoid that on the t-shirts.
I was like,
I'm sure it will happen though.
Yeah, it will. And
it is,
I mean,
a cool quote.
It is.
Well, it's also, it's not quite done yet. You gotta get to, like, the full minute of the trailer before he finishes the sentence.
Right.
Yeah.
Which...
They really drew out the audio here.
Yes, and it changes the meaning a little bit. So...
Yeah.
I'll just spoil it. The full voiceover is, magic blooms, only in rare souls. Still, we must skulk in the shadows. So, it's not like a happy...
Context matters, kids.
It's not a happy-go-lucky sort of quote.
Nope.
But so at this point, at 57 seconds to about a minute in, I think this is Credence chilling in an alley.
What is up with
circus advertisements?
He
likes the alleys.
Okay.
And
so,
some of the headlines. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm starting to think that Credence joined the circus. The bottom of this sign. Well, first it says, introducing the infant demonic, and it's almost like, I don't know, I feel like that could be Credence's circus name, like he's like a quote-unquote child who's got this demonic force inside him. The bottom of the sign says, the greatest freak of nature ever.
Oh, gosh.
So I kind of get that feeling, and like it's kind of like sad because... If that's the case, like, maybe he felt like the circus was the only place where he felt like he fit in, even among wizards. Like, he's still an outcast, even among, like, magical people.
That is depressing.
Yeah.
But
I think
very possible.
The only reason I didn't think so much that that one might be him is just because I feel like he kind of looks like... He's discovering that the circus is a thing in that alley. Like, oh, look at all these circus posters. Let me low-key sneak in here and see what it's all about. But it could also very well be, like, you know, he's part of the circus now and he's wandering past this alley and looking at the poster and being like, am I a freak? And I'm like, no, son, you're fine.
Like, looking at how, like, the rest
how
of the world sees him, yeah.
Oh, that's just... Oh, Credence just needs a hug and some hot chocolate. Stat. It will.
The other headlines say, hypnotist, take heed of his artful deception, and Friday, December 3rd, Homo Amphibia. And I'm not sure if that's a person slash frog or a homosexual amphibian.
I mean, could be both.
Which also makes me think about Caribbean Amphibian. Do you guys know that song?
No. No. I don't.
Kermit sings it.
Oh my, of course he does.
Caribbean.
Naturally.
Amphibian. It's a good song.
You're just my favorite person on planet Earth, basically.
Why, thank you.
No offense, Amy, you are also excellent. oh gosh. Yeah, I did, I just had a point I was gonna, and it flew away.
I ruined it with my song.
No, you didn't. Oh, no. Friday, December. Okay, so this was something I was curious about. Is it, like, I apologize if I am not in the know on this. It's been a while. Do we know how much longer after the first film this one takes place?
I thought it was supposed to only be a few months, but this would be, like, almost a year.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Like, I don't know if just the December 3rd is an old poster, but it did make me think that, like, you know, they... I know that the first film took place in a December, so it was making me wonder if it was a bit longer than that, if it was, like, a year. But I could be totally wrong on that, and please, listeners, feel free to send us owls that are like, Elena, what are you doing?
Our hint was that... that image that said when his book release was happening.
Yeah.
Which was the 19th of March.
I thought it was still 1927. Could be wrong, though.
The one I'm looking at doesn't say, but...
Yeah, the poster doesn't have a year on it, but the book thing very well might have.
Unless the first film could have taken place in January of 1927 and those Christmas decorations were like left over in Macy's.
I think it was confirmed that it was like first week in December. I forget how and where, but I know I've seen stuff.
Oh, the newspaper titles.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think that was it. Because I was like, I know that we have proof that it was then. Because it was like, it was Hanukkah that year.
Yeah.
And people were mad that the Goldstein sisters were not celebrating Hanukkah, which is valid and fair.
Yeah.
Because I want to know what Wizard Hanukkah looks like. I'm just saying.
I bet it's cool.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on homosexual amphibians?
I mean, sounds like a good description to me, but, you know.
At 102... we have wizards apparating off of buses.
Mm-hmm. And the sign kind of hanging on the bus says, Britain's favorite for daily news. So we know we're in Britain at this point.
This very specific point, at least.
Yeah, this movie's going to take us all over the world.
All over. From 102 to 104, we have a scene of the Deluminator putting out a street lamp, which is angled exactly like the first scene in Sorcerer's Stone. And there's nostalgia in my eye.
They just...
They're very good at this.
They just punched me in the face with it, and I just wasn't prepared.
We are predictable, and they take advantage of it, and everyone's fine with it, to be honest.
Wait, what was it? Oh, gosh. We talked about it on that episode that I really... weaponized something...
Intertextuality.
Yes, there we go. Nailed it. I was gonna say that word too, but I was like, it didn't sound right in my mouth, but it sounded right coming out of yours.
They're like sitting there editing this all together post production. They're like, ha, I know how we can make a movie theater full of these nerds sob. Throw in some more Hogwarts.
Blooms in rare
here's
souls.
A beautiful angle of the Deluminator.
They like our tears.
Yeah. They I literally think that someone at WB must have like a mug that just says Elena's tears and they sip from it joyously each day.
I certainly hope so. That would be great.
Yeah. It just I had feelings. But then prison.
Yes. Yeah, so then we go to prison from like 105 to 107. And it looks like there are aurors running up the stairs past cages full of people. And they are carrying what looks like a floating weirdo.
Wait, it just occurred to me. Are they at Azkaban?
He was in Nurmengard, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, for the rest of his life when he got locked up. But you can get locked up in more than one prison.
No, I don't think you can. I think
I still feel like Makuza has a prison. Because, like, when we see the carriage flying, I still say it looks like the Makuza building. So I feel that's where he's escaping from.
Oh.
But, yeah. Anyways, this floating weirdo.
It's Grindelwald, right?
Yeah.
But am I the only person who, like, thought this kind of looked like Flamel, too? Like, I think it's the hair.
Yeah, it's the hair. Certainly the hair.
And the creepiness.
Mm-hmm.
I have so many thoughts on Flamel when we get to that section. Oh my god.
This is like by far the creepiest moment in the trailer for me too. Like
it
I don't
reminded
know.
Me
like,
of that moment in the what is it, The Exorcist, when she's like climbing down the stairs backwards. I was like,
yeah, no.
I was like, no.
It also reminded me of the scene when the Death Eaters had the Muggle Studies teacher floating, like, over their meeting. Ugh. Like, it feels like that.
Yeah. Pour one out for Charity Burbage.
Yeah, poor Charity.
That, put that on a t-shirt.
Put everything I say on a t-shirt, honestly.
I mean, basically, I'll start a business and it's going to be Megan. It's going to be called Megan on a t-shirt, and it's just exactly what it sounds like.
It'll be, I'll buy all of them and then no one else will, but I'll keep it afloat.
And there'll be an honorary Don't Push the Puff t-shirt for me and Amy.
Yes. There you go. So after prison, we go from 108 to 110 to a scene that we saw in the teaser. Newt is looking at a Paris postcard that's been ripped up, but it repairs itself. And I don't know if he's repairing it with, like, wandless magic of some sort, or if it's repairing itself, because it's magic. I also don't know who tore it, or who sent it.
Amy, I'm going to need you to verbatim read what you have here, because it's excellent. This is quality podcasting content here.
So we were, like, discussing, like, who sent him this postcard? Like, seriously. Who does he know in Paris? It's not Tina. Because as far as we know, she's in New York City, unless she decided to holiday in Paris. I don't know. But, like, I said, I don't know, did Dumbledore just decide to send a postcard? He was like, "Dear Newt, lovely time here in Paris. Cafes are fabulous. P.S. I need you to come defeat a super dark wizard for me because I can't think of anyone else's address right now. Thanks, bye."
And that I just want you to know, Amy, if I ever go to Paris, I'm sending you a postcard with that verbatim written on it.
That's amazing.
But, like, really.
It's true, though.
Who sent him this?
Well, I got a theory. So this is, like, the one valid theory that I actually have to contribute today. So my thought is that the postcard could be from either Theseus or Leda. And that he it's ripped up because he was just like, oh, you know, my brother's marrying the girl I had a crush on, and or, you know, the girl I had a crush on is marrying my brother, and he's just upset, and he rips it up because he just doesn't want to hear from them or whatever, or because he had some kind of other falling out with either of them. But for whatever reason, he, like, needs their help with this weird little quest that Dumbledore is about to send him on. And so he, like, puts it back together and is like, all right, like, where is he at? Like, what's his address right now? I guess I should figure it out. Like, so I don't know. My thought is that it's from either of them, but I don't know. Could be totally wrong.
That sounds a little more valid than Dumbledore writing him a postcard to defeat Grindelwald.
I mean, but that's my preferred theory.
That's also something Dumbledore would totally do.
Yeah.
I mean, towards the end, I mean, we'll get to it, but, like, just the way that he talks at the end with Newt, or towards the middle, is just so Dumbledore that I was like, this is the most on-brand Dumbledore, like, trademark symbol that I've ever seen. Like,
like, I want these 13-year-old kids to go back in time and save two lives, but I'm not going to tell them anything. Like, are you kidding?
His return should do it.
Honestly, the least helpful guy I've ever met.
Thanks, Dumby.
I just, oh, he's so, what a nugget.
I know. And then around 110 to 114, we jump to Grindelwald addressing a full room of people. It looks like the courtroom from Macuza. I don't think that's where they are, but that's, like, it's that sort of round platform in the middle of a big round room that's, like, got stadium seating of people. He says, but the old ways serve us no longer. So that was continuing from Magic Blooms. Where is it? Only in Rare Souls. Still we must skulk in shadows. Yes. But the old ways serve us no longer.
Yeah. And this is, like, what Elena was saying earlier, the eerie similarity to Hitler rallies. Seen a lot of pictures in history books that look a lot like this, like, with Hitler surrounded by all of these people looking down at him. And I know I pointed this out on a previous episode, but Rosier is on his right, and is, like, literally his right-hand person, and Grindelwald is perfectly centered in those circles that are on the floor. So he's, like, at the very center of the room, the center of attention.
Yeah, that kind of, like, it just, for me, that particular shot, like, kind of harkened back to the first shots in the first teaser of the first film, where you see, like, Tina, like, addressing everybody, and she's, like, looking scared and standing on a pentagram or some crap, and I was just like, ooh. I was like, what's this gonna mean? And turns out didn't mean, you know, what I thought it was. But, yeah, it just, I think that, yeah, they like to play with us. You know, like anything that can look like something else they've seen before to make them, you know, develop theories until their eyes bleed, is just a thing that they do.
But they know how much we love it.
So. Yeah, they give us what we want.
Give the people what they want.
Let them have Newt.
Sorry, guys, if you heard any rustling, I was taking care of a huge spider.
What is it with the bugs attacking you guys?
I don't.
Am I next?
Be ready.
Oh, God.
Prepare yourself, Megan. Grab a flip-flop.
We've graduated from a fly to a spider, so I don't want to know what the next step is. Cockroach.
The Leatherfold. Congratulations.
A mischief of rats. Oh, God. You'll hear me burning down my house and moving.
Oh. Yes.
So, at 1:15, we have text on the screen that says, from writer J.K. Rowling.
Sobs.
Yes, exactly. At 1:16, it looks like Maledictus walking in front of the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm. Sightseeing.
Yes, just casually taking a stroll.
Yes, as you do.
Going to get at a postcard sent to Newt.
Yeah.
Well, you know, valid.
At 1:17, we see Queenie for the first time.
Yay! Ugh,
my precious baby girl.
She looks pretty concerned. She's wearing a pin that we haven't seen before that could be a bee or a cicada. And there were some people throwing around some theories in the common room. Cicadas are associated with rebirth or metamorphosis. And Dumbledore comes from the word bumblebee. So the symbolism for either one of those options is pretty interesting.
Thanks, Mari.
Yes, thank you.
These are super valid and awesome, and I just don't come for Queenie. She's my baby.
Also, like, speaking of her wardrobe, I noticed the colors are so much more muted in this trailer than what we saw her wearing in the first film. She's still wearing that signature pink. But it's not really a bubblegum color anymore. It's, like, a lot darker and kind of...
That is a good observation.
Yo, if my girl is wearing dark red by the end of this movie, I'm gonna be stressed. I'm just not prepared.
I don't know. I relate to her more now because I wear, like, black every day.
You just sounded like such a proud goth, and I was so happy for you.
To quote Fall Out Boy, I'll stop wearing black when they make a darker color.
Yes.
I don't know if they came up with that, but that's where I heard it.
Well, I just gave it poetry snaps. I don't know if you heard them, but I gave them to you.
I mean, thank you on Fall Out Boy's behalf.
But anywho.
Anyway.
So, anywho. From 1:18 to 1:19, I started laughing at this scene when I saw it. Because I thought it was an Obscurus that they hadn't, like, CGI'd yet, and it literally looks like a black piece of fabric flying through the streets.
It does.
It does.
But it might be a Leatherfold, which is a carnivorous and highly dangerous magical creature, which looks like a black cloak. So that would explain why it looks like a very silly Obscurus.
Which we covered on, like, one of our very first episodes. Like, first five episodes, we were talking about a Leatherfold.
Yeah.
It's kind of... It's a carnivorous piece of fabric.
And I remember this is kind of what people thought the Obscurus was.
Yeah.
In the first film. Because it was the only thing we had to assume. Yeah.
The only reason I think it may not be a Leatherfold is just because, like, the way they describe it is, like, it chokes out a person like a cloak that's covering you. So it seems like it might be a bit too big to be a Leatherfold. But I don't know. Maybe... choking cloaks of darkness can be whatever size they want because they're body positive. I don't know.
So I don't know. Personally, I kind of hope it's an Obscurus because it's funny if it is. Because just go look at it. It looks like Looks like they took a piece of black fabric and were like, ooh.
It just reminds me of you describing the Obscurus looking like an octopus rolling down the street. That's like my favorite comment you've ever made on this podcast.
I forgot I said that. How do you remember the things I said better than I do?
Because I listened to them a lot.
Well, I stand by that statement.
Yeah, it was a valid statement. That's why I recall it so well. An octopus, like a giant deadly octopus rolling down the street is exactly what that looked like.
Oh, boy.
Hashtag throwback Thursday. Anyway.
At 20 and 1 minute 20 and 121, Tina and Newt look like they're sort of cowering from the Leatherfold / Obscurus. But they're not attacking it. They're not trying to, like, calm it. They're just kind of like, oh, crap.
It's not dangerous. So,
yeah. No, so I'm not sure what the deal is there. And why then there's a voiceover that? Of some character, I'm not sure who, saying, I take it you've heard the rumors. And it's an American accent, so.
Oh, yeah, it does, it goes right into Dumbledore. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's just dude with a funky accent.
Well, because the end of the phrase is definitely Dumbledore.
Yeah. But
the beginning of it is an American accent, so I don't know who it is.
Okay, I'm gonna...
But they say, I take it you've heard the rumors. And then at 122, they say, Grindelwald had a vision. And we see a shot of Grindelwald reaching out for something with an overlay of Credence's face.
Oh my gosh.
Over the whole shot.
Yeah, that shot is probably, the most, visually what is happening, but it's mm-hmm. so cool.
Yeah.
I thought this was interesting, because that voiceover of Grindelwald had a vision. Once again, it looks like the vision is involving Credence, which, of course, in the first film, he, quote, had a vision of a child with extreme power. But Rowling did confirm he was lying about that vision, but also that he is a seer. That exchange
okay.
was
okay. I feel like I missed another one of the Mischief of Rats memos.
Yeah,
I feel like I should know that.
That's a huge point that yeah. I never picked up on.
Yeah, that original exchange. It was on Twitter. A fan tweeted her and said, "What did Graves / Grindelwald mean when they said, 'My vision showed only the child's immense power'? Is he a seer or is he lying?" And Rowling responded, "He is both a seer and lying."
Of course.
So
she can't just
cryptic
clarify things.
Yeah. But we know he is a seer. So to me, this looks like this is Grindelwald having a vision involving Credence. So to me, that original vision, I feel like he could have had the vision but lied about the contents of the vision to get Credence to help him. I don't know.
Yeah, but he genuinely didn't know who it was.
Right. I feel like he could have had, I don't know, he could have had some sort of vision. I don't know, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was it that he said? Because he said something like, I saw a child close to you was something mm-hmm. specific I remember him saying. But it's LOL, the child inside me, haha.
I imagine if you're a seer, you would get, images of things in your head and, maybe feelings, but not, there's not, a narrator in there going, so, Credence is the Obscurus.
Right.
Wouldn't that make the plot of life much easier?
I wish I had a narrator, to be honest.
Megan thought she wanted a narrator, but she didn't.
I missed you, Elena.
I missed you, too. I missed all you guys.
God. But that's definitely,
Amy,
a huge
you just blew my mind. I don't even know.
Then. Yeah, because if Grindelwald's a seer, that's...
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think he would see his imminent downfall.
Lols. And then, okay, so then the trailer starts trying to kill me because we get a lot of rapid shots of things.
It's too fast.
That are hard to describe.
I don't feel like you need to do the timestamps for this one because it's just going to make your brain hurt.
Okay, so we are starting at 123. There's some people, including Abernathy, carrying what might be a casket. And then we get some rapid shots of characters looking suspicious. Abernathy again with what might be caskets behind him, but we're seeing him like through a hole of some sort, so it's hard to tell. Rosier just kind of checking things out. And then we get Credence and Maledictus looking like they're trying to be stealth near some bird cages. I think we have seen this scene before because I remember talking about, like, maybe they're at a flea market or something like that. But I don't think anybody figured out where they were.
Yeah.
And then during that scene, we have a voiceover of Dumbledore saying that he would rise to dominance over the wizarding world. So that full sentence, the way they have it edited is, I take it you've heard the rumors. Grindelwald had a vision that he would rise to dominance over the wizarding world. And then at 127, we have the Melusine walking through the French ministry with her super evil looking cats.
This is like the creepiest thing ever. Like, what the hell?
And I also need to give credit to the common room folks for pointing out that that is the Melusine, because my original notes just said crazy old lady with super evil cats. She looks nothing like the Starbucks logo.
No. So, I was trying to look up, like, what these cats might be. Since we are in the French ministry, I tried to look through, like, French folklore and see if there was anything that came up. There is a beast or, like, a creature thing called the Madigot or Madigo or Mandrago. It's a spirit in animal form, and it favors the form of a black cat. All the tales kind of vary, though. Like, some of them, they're considered to be dark, evil spirits. Others, they're thought to bring wealth and prosperity and are actually nicknamed the money cat.
I feel like this was a Newt Case creature once.
It could have been. Could have been.
This is ringing a bell all of a sudden.
Yeah. But pretty much all the stories I found, they pretty much agree that it represents like a bridge between two worlds because it is a spirit in cat form.
Creepy. So at 1 minute 28 seconds to about a minute 30, we see Newt saying, "So you're asking me to help hunt him down?"
Why, yes. Yes, I am.
What do you want, Dumbledore?
I want you to answer my postcard.
At a minute 31, we have a super quick shot that I didn't even notice the first time I watched the trailer of a disembodied glove pointing at St. Paul's Cathedral.
I did not notice this until you put this stuff in the notes, so thank you.
I actually had seen it when I rewatched it a couple times before hopping on the episode, and that was when I noticed it, and I was like, oh my god, there was a gloved hand, I can't wait to tell them about this, and I was like, oh, yep, they already peeped that.
You can see there's someone standing on the cathedral, too, like, where the glove is pointing. It's probably Dumbledore.
Can you? Wow.
Like, on this
I didn't notice that outcrop
corner.
You guys are so astute.
Because then it jumps to a minute 32, Dumbledore standing on a rooftop looking over his shoulder.
Yeah.
And it does, it looks like the roof of St. Paul's Cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a minute 33, I thought Newt was disapparating, but I think the glove is in front of his face and he grabs it and it's a portkey. And it takes him.
Yeah, it does look like he's grabbing someone's hand.
Yeah.
And then
whoop. Yeah. And he ends up on the roof of St. Paul's. And you could see the glove in his hand when he gets there.
Yeah, you can. He's holding it.
Yeah. Huh. That was really cool. That is cool. It makes me wonder if it was a portkey or if it was just like telling him the way and then he grabbed it and apparated with it.
Maybe.
But one of the two.
And so who knows what they're doing up there? We don't. Because at a minute 34, it jumps to Dumbledore looking into the Mirror of Erised. He sees himself and Grindelwald.
Okay. My favorite scene.
And the voiceover at that moment says, Dumbledore is saying, I can't move against Grindelwald.
Add this to the list of reasons that my soul is broken.
I love this because Newt can't see what Dumbledore is seeing in the mirror. So Dumbledore's history with Grindelwald is still like his dark secret, you know what I mean? Like, he's still hanging on to that himself.
Yeah.
And, like, Newt doesn't know about this.
And all I could think of was in the book when he tells Harry, he's like, oh, I see myself holding a pair of socks. And I'm like, you liar! Oh, God, it just makes me so... It just makes me so distraught because little Dumbledore is struggling and I just want him to have nice things.
But also, like, I know we talked about this a bit in the common room. It's interesting because it is implied in the seventh book that what Dumbledore actually sees instead of the socks is his family alive. And I believe JK confirmed that as well. So it's kind of interesting that like his deepest desire at some point changed.
Well, do you think it depends on the moment? Because Harry's vision in the mirror changed within the course of a couple months because of what he was experiencing at that exact moment. So I'm wondering if it's not like a set thing.
Well, as a person, I think you're constantly changing and evolving, and the things you value change as you grow. I feel like Dumbledore probably, as a character, we know that slowly he kind of changed his thinking and what mattered to him changed as well. So I think it only makes sense that what he sees in the mirror would change as well. He eventually realized his family was the most important thing and not having all this power.
Yeah. And I mean, well, there's two things too, because I mean, the first is kind of like what you guys are saying. I mean, if your Patronus can change, like, I don't see any reason why what you see in the mirror of Erised couldn't also. But it's just interesting to me because we've kind of, like, as a fandom, I feel like that's never really a conversation we've had that, like, what you see in the mirror could change. But now it's just like, whoa. So that was kind of, like, a cool, like, one of those things where it finally felt like, oh, wow, a piece of canon is expanding in a unique way, not in a... WTF Joe kind of way.
Like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And we've seen it happen before, as Megan just said, with Harry. So.
And it reminded me of, like, how we felt about the Obscurus. We're like, whoa, oh my god, Ariana's an Obscurus. Like, you realize something that was always there in plain sight, but you're like, ah. But what was the other thing I was going to say? Is that we're also, we're not seeing the full shot here. Like, again, context is everything. Like, in this trailer, all we see is Dumbledore with a sad puppy face looking at his former he-wishes-was boyfriend. But, you know, this scene could continue into, like, you know, him... I think it was Michael who was saying, like, you know, him finding out, like, which of them killed Ariana. And maybe his deepest desire is that it wasn't him. And so this moment that he's about to see is that it wasn't. So... So that's there's kind of like, there's a lot of layers to this, but I'm really, this was the coolest, by far, moment of the trailer for me.
Like,
what a
great way to do this, you know what I mean? Like, I know we were so concerned about how the Dumbledore-Grindelwald relationship would be portrayed.
Yeah.
And I think this is just a really cool way to get the point across. We understand it. And it's just...
And this is the kind of thing, like, that I feel like we were all, like, you know, when me and Michael and, you know, everybody else on the show was so vehemently saying we wanted to see it addressed, this sort of shot is the, I'm gonna just say, this is the shit we're talking about. Like, this is showing you who he is as a person without, you know, like, beating you over the head with, you know, a rainbow sparkle flag. Like, that's the kind of representation that we actually want to see.
I can't figure out what he thought was not explicit about this.
I know. I had, like, a tweet where I was just like, you know, David Yates, not explicit. And then trailer sees his, you know, ex-person he was in love with as his deepest desire.
Sure, see, Jan. To me, this is, like exactly the sort of thing I pictured when he said not explicitly. Like, to me, not explicitly meant, like, he's not going to come out and say it. He's not going to explain the relationship, like, in dialogue. But there will be obvious, like, not even hints. Like, it's way more than hints. You know what I mean? But, like, in a way that's not, I guess, forcing it? Like, in a way that brings us along. Like, we know what's going on already. And it's not, like, treating us like we're stupid as viewers, you know? Which,
Yeah. It just, I'm very excited that it feels like such an authentic moment. I mean, I don't know how the rest of that scene in the film will unfold, and I'll be angry if they do it, but I mean, there's a good chance we might not even see this scene in the film, because, you know, we want to be wizards, except when we don't, first movie.
I would be very surprised if they cut this scene. Like, I feel like this is too important.
It seems integral to the plot, but... But yeah, it just, I don't know. This is the kind of authentic stuff we're talking about. Sure. And I'm happy to see it in the trailer.
The way the scene falls, it's like right before they break the frantic pace of the trailer. Like all these scenes are boom, 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 boom. And then right after this Miraverseed one, we get a 10-second scene. So it very much breaks the flow of what we're watching. We're supposed to be paying attention to it.
And it's got to fade into the next scene, too. Like, it cuts to black and then fades back in. Yeah. Like, it's telling you, like, hey, we're moving along into the next part of this trailer.
So that scene ends around a minute 37, and the next scene doesn't begin until 2 seconds later.
And can we talk about that scene for a sec?
At a minute 39 to about a minute 49, Dumbledore hands Newt a card of some sort. I had to turn my screen brightness way up to look at it. It has a glowing symbol on it. It's a circle with a dot inside. It's not the Deathly Hallows. It kind of looks like an engagement ring. Like a cartoon of an engagement ring with like a dot in the middle.
I think it's one of Michael's wizard cards.
And the dialogue here is, Dumbledore says, "It has to be you." So right before this, he said, "I can't move against Grindelwald." And now he's saying, "It has to be you." Newt looks at Dumbledore like he just stepped on picket. Dumbledore says, "In your shoes, I'd probably refuse to." Takes the card back. And then he says, "It's late. Good evening, Newt." And then he disapparates. And the shot widens, and we can see that we're on Lambeth Bridge in London. And Newt says, "Oh, come on."
And in that moment, Newt was all of us. That scene is so perfect and everything, and I love every single element of the whole thing.
Also, what the heck is going on?
I have no idea.
That's what the movie is, how we'll find out. And I'm fine with that.
What is that card, first of all?
It's from postcard collection, guys. Obviously.
And then second of all, he's like asking Newt to do a thing, but he doesn't really want him to.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
And just that whole line, "If I were you, I'd refuse to."
But that's very like Dumbledore manipulative.
But like manipulative with a jaunty grin. Like, and that's just the most
exactly. Which is how he gets people to fall for it. It's like, you can't say no to Dumbledore.
It reminded me so much of the scene with Slughorn and Harry and how he, like, twists his arm, but, like, with pleasantries. And I'm like, God, this guy's a genius.
Yeah, but that's a very practiced, like, knows exactly what he's doing Dumbledore. This one is, like, he's conflicted because he knows he needs to ask Newt to do this thing, but he doesn't want Newt to do it, or...
We are going to get to see such complicated, like, a complicated version of Dumbledore. And I didn't know that you could make that character any more freaking complicated than he already was to begin with.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, like, I know early on we were all very, like, no, we just want it to be its own thing. We don't want it to, you know, step on toes of the canon or whatever. But I'm honestly, like, getting to a point where I'm just so excited to see what, you know, Joe does with this character at this point in his life. It's going to be so awesome.
And then totally Newt, awesome, Newt doesn't even have a chance to respond. He just stares at him for a second, and then Dumbledore leaves.
# classic Dumbledore.
Yeah. So who knows about that? At a minute 50, there's more text on the screen that says, "This November."
Ah!
So soon.
Minute 51, 52. Lita is walking through a fancy party of some sort, looking a little sad. And then in the next scene, there's a dancer in the middle of a group of very well-dressed people. And somebody pointed out that Theseus is in the background of that crowd.
Could this be their engagement
party? Oh, maybe. I thought somebody was saying it might be their wedding, but it didn't look like she was in a wedding dress.
Maybe yeah. she is a fashion icon, okay? And she does what she wants.
Ooh!
Wait. Going with Elena's theory, could that postcard have been an invitation to the engagement party?
Shoot!
And that's here.
Drops the microphone, except doesn't, because it's a nice microphone.
Boom! Goes and kills another spider, comes back.
Well, that'll be our headcanon until further notice.
Yep.
Done.
Yeah.
Done deal.
Yeah,
I mean, I would rip up my brother's invitation to marrying the girl that I liked.
Well, what if the invitation's from Lita?
I mean, that's also just, that's equally as shady.
And what if he doesn't plan on going, but the only reason he does go is because he needs help with this
Is because quest. Grindelwald's invited too? Now it's just getting...
Now I'm just letting my imagination run away.
Yeah. Somebody stop me!
So we're jumping around again. A minute 54, Newt appears to purposely let out the Niffler on... He lets the Niffler out of a case on a busy street.
A distraction?
Like Dumbledore's dazzling smile. I'm sorry, I'm just obsessed with Jude Law. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with little Niffs.
Little Niffs. I am glad he made an appearance, though. That's nice.
Oh, our pastries. I'm still not over the fact that they didn't, they were so lazy that they did not name him. You named 4 Bowtruckles that never have anything to do with anything. Like, they get their whole little family, but you can't name the main Niffler that's in all your marketing materials. Really?
Well, whenever Dan was on, we asked him to, canonically name the Niffler pastries for us.
I swear to God, if they call that thing pastries in that movie, I will flip entire theater seats. It will be over.
Please be sure somebody films that.
Elena just runs at the screen and dives into it.
See, I realize you said dives into it, but for a second I thought you said dies into it, and I was like, yeah, accurate.
That too.
The next scene is a person I think is Newt riding a Kelpie through a bunch of water.
But you phrased it so well.
Yes.
Is that Newton?
Is this Newton? I don't know. At first I just wrote person because I couldn't figure out who it was. Because people are blurry in the water. The next scene, we have water filling up behind glass or some kind of magical barrier. And Bunty, who is Newt's assistant, is watching.
I totally forgot she was a thing till this.
Did we learn that from IMDb?
Well, I know that they announced that actress a while back, but I didn't really put the two and two together that the person in the clip was her.
Yeah, to be honest, that was Igor. So
yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, because he is a boss,
right? So I just put lady is watching ? Potentially in danger ? And he was like, "That's Bunty," and I was like, "Oh right, Bunty."
Igor knows all. So, I was wondering if this is inside Newt's case.
Yo!
Maybe this is a habitat.
We best be going back in there.
For the Kelpie?
I like that theory.
Yeah, I just want to live in that case forever.
Yeah.
Do you think there's food in there? For humans?
He's a Hufflepuff. He's got to have a food stash.
Oh, true. True. Fair.
And then after that, at a minute 58, we get more screen text. It says the fate of one. Minute 59 to 2 minutes. Grindelwald is walking through the middle of a street. It's the middle of the day. There's people around, but they're not really paying attention to him.
Until he kills them.
And the voiceover at that moment. Yeah. The voiceover at that moment says their arrogance is a key to our victory.
Hmm.
I could not make out what he was saying at that point. I was like, "Leverance is," and I was like, "What is the key to your victory?
Will we die just a little?
You know, kiss your mother with that mouth? What is he saying?" It literally sounded like gibberish to me. Their arrogance, I'm so glad that you put that, because I heard, "Leverance." I was
like, "Well, that could have been it too." But I liked the fact that while he was saying their arrogance is a key to our victory, he was walking around and nobody was looking at him. I thought that was
a
cool.
That was nice.
A cool little trick.
And then what is the crypty thing.
Yeah, and then we get more confusing shots at 201. A figure that looks like it could be Grindelwald is walking into a chamber. And then right after that at 202, there's figures walking through an area. Like, literally, that's my description here. It might be a graveyard. I think that that in real life was filmed at Highgate Cemetery, but I don't know if that's being used as a graveyard in the movie. Because it kind of just, it looks like architecture.
Yeah.
It looks like
architecture. It looks like ruins to me.
It's such a great assessment.
But the lighting is dark.
What?
And the music's very sinister at that point. So I kind of have the feeling those might be Grindelwald supporters, but I don't know. And a while back we were speculating about them filming at Highgate Cemetery, so now we know that was true. Unfortunately,
mm-hmm. Karl
Marx's giant head is nowhere to be seen. And also a reminder for Ariel, if you're listening, George Michael is in fact dead.
Sorry to break it to you again.
Yes.
It's just too soon, guys. It's way too soon. Wow, did you guys know that the cinematographer for this movie also was a cinematographer for Big Fish?
Oh, cool.
Ah, that's cool.
Fun factoid. An Interview with a Vampire.
Oh my god.
Because I looked him up because I don't know what it is with these back of the neck shots of dudes like that he's just obsessed with. Like,
he it's just likes becoming like dudes' necks. I mean, you know.
Don't kink shame. It's
becoming
him.
Like a visual. I'm not. I'm just curious.
This is not a kink shaming podcast.
You're just my favorite human yet again. I just can't. Megan, if we don't hang out in real life in the next 20 minutes, you're canceled.
Well, you're going to have to hustle on over here.
Alrighty. Okay, I'm on the way.
So after this confusing Highgate Cemetery scene, we have around 204, 205, Maledictus and Credence are sitting on a rooftop. Credence seems to be sending the Obscurus somewhere on purpose and, like, controlling it with his brain.
Like, why is he doing this in, like, the evening?
Yeah, it's, like, pretty light out, and they're pretty out in the open. I don't know.
Yeah, just, I feel like some statutes of about secrecy are just not being retained.
Yeah. And then we get some text that says, the fate of all. More rapid-fire scenes. At 207, figures are disappearing from the large Makuza-like courtroom.
And we know they're evil because they're gray.
That's how that works. I thought the evil ones disapparated in black smoke.
Yeah, but it's a new generation.
Okay. So
maybe these are people who are on the fence. These are like swing state wizards.
Disapparating with muted just evil.
Yo.
Things are not only black and white.
Oh.
There's a lot of gray between.
We've all got both light and dark inside of us.
How many shades of gray, Amy? I need to know for science.
No less than 50.
Good. Anyway, moving on.
And then we get a side profile of Dumbledore, and then fades into a side profile of Grindelwald, so for a hot second it kind of looks like they're gazing lovingly at each other's faces. Or maybe not lovingly.
I paused it right on there.
When I paused the trailer there, I was like, oh my god, Dumbledore's a seer too! And I was like, oh no, it's just a transition.
But it's a cool transition.
I mean, he could be.
It would explain a lot, to be honest.
It just, you know what, though? It's really, like, if you pause it on that as it's, like, transitioning and you have both of them, it really is kind of nice because it's, like, it shows their relationship because Dumbledore just looks, like, sad and conflicted and stressed and Grindelwald is just like, I'm here, bitch, what's up? Like, I'm here to take over the world because I saw it in a vision. And you're just like, no one cares. Go home.
And the voiceover during that is, Muggles are not lesser. And that's Dumbledore saying it.
As this weird, like, bird is just, that's just not the right shot for that.
Well, it overlaps with the shot of Jacob as he's saying, Muggles are not lesser. And then we see Jacob on screen.
True. I just feel like they could have picked a better shot of Jacob. But also, I'm excited about this floofy bird.
Yeah, I still think that could be an augury. I mean, I was, like, flipping through the illustrated edition. That's the closest thing I could find. But it looks, like, so, like, comical.
It's very expressive. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just had a bad day. But I hope for Shannon's sake that it is an augury. Because if we get through all five of these and there isn't one, I feel like she's going to retroactively get a time turner and remove herself from the podcast.
Yeah. So then we're at like 212. We see Tina, Newt, and some lady, Lita?
Lita, okay. Yeah.
I couldn't like tell. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I paused that trying to figure it out, and I was like, I don't know who this lady is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just recognized, you see her face for, like, a brief second, but I recognize the outfit from the first,
yeah,
that thing that they shared where you see everybody.
And, like, the haircut. Yeah.
So yeah. They are on these spinning apparatuses that look like the pictures of the magical archives that we've seen, but they're also definitely inside the French ministry when this is happening. So are those two... the same
this
place?
Looks so cool.
The French Department of Mysteries, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, but this next shot is like, what?
Yeah, and then at 2:14, 2:15, there is some sort of blue explosion-type dragon creature threatening Jacob. Jacob backs away, and then at the very last second of what's in the trailer, we see Tina run to, like, save him.
And it's a canted angle, so you know that things are about to get serious.
Mm-hmm. And the voiceover from Dumbledore at that moment is not disposable.
Oh, so, it's like she's
don't come after
dump
Jacob.
Him.
Muggles are not lesser, not disposable.
Oh my gosh, his face. Because he looks so, like Jacob just looks so resolved to, like he thinks this thing is really going to kill him and this is it. Like, that's the look on his face in that shot. And then Tina just runs up out of nowhere and is like, not today, Satan! And it's just great. I just love it.
At 2:17, we cut to Queenie covering her ears. And something I think is important to note in this scene is that it's raining. And given how important rain was in the first film, I don't think that they would just be like, oh, for aesthetics, we'll have it be raining. I think that probably means something.
Yeah.
And they both look like they're kneeling.
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, it cuts straight from Jacob kneeling to Queenie kneeling.
And why would she be covering her ears?
Yeah.
Because she's got too many voices in
her head. And the rain is, like, especially important to Jacob and Queenie. Obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Did someone in the common room comment on the thing coming out of her sleeve?
Yeah.
Like, is that?
She's got, like, a little snake thing coming out of her sleeve, and then it goes up kind of on her chin. Not sure what that's
about.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yo, this blue dragon is, like, what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know,
It seems like some sort of, like, storm creature or something. Like, do we think maybe that's why it's raining?
Could be.
Did this, like, bring the rain? I don't know.
Well, because it looks like, it doesn't look like it's raining where Jacob is.
True.
But then it cuts to Queenie in the rain, and then it cuts back to Jacob and everybody else where it's
at
not raining.
2:18, 2:19, we have a group of wizards who have their wands raised against blue explosion dragon-type creature. And then right after that, Newt is walking towards something as other wizards run away. In the very next shot, we see the new Chinese beast. I'm gonna butcher it. The Zowow? Zowow? It's coming towards Newt.
Wait, but I think it's been... Oh, so he said he thinks that that scene has been cut from the movie.
Oh. Yeah, so, well, that not that whole scene. He said in an interview, I was trying to attempt to speak Mandarin to it, but I think that has been cut.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I was like, wait a minute.
That was just a fun fact.
That's That's really interesting. And then he's getting something out of the case. Like, ugh.
Yeah. Well, I thought he was trying to get the Zowow into the case.
That's what I thought, too. Oh, yeah. He's, like, holding his wand, and it looks like there's something on the end of the wand. It almost looks like a piece of meat. Like, he's trying to, like, lure it into the case.
Mm. Yeah. Also, this is something I'm only just now noticing. It's got chains around its neck? Is this an escape circus creature that he's trying to lure to safety?
Very well could be. Newt will save all the circus creatures, and everyone will live happily ever after. Do you hear me, WB? Happily ever after.
I mean, they do listen to you. They gave us a 3-minute trailer.
That's true. Can't be too mad. So after that at 2:23, it's just a black screen. And we hear Lita saying, "You're too good, Newt."
We agree.
Right after that, the screen fades back to Newt and Lita talking. And Lita says, "You never met a monster you couldn't love."
And everyone was stabbed in the field.
So she's like, she's talking about herself. She's
calling herself a monster, yeah.
Because she looks all, like, sad and maybe, like, she's been crying. Mm-hmm. Ugh.
The drama. Yes. Oh, his eye twitches and he just looks so sad. Oh, I can't.
At 2:25, a man in a hat. And that is the best I could find to describe him. I don't know who he is. He looks around the room. He looks around at a room that's been destroyed. Furniture is floating near the ceiling.
And then credits.
I feel like this has to be, like, a ministry wizard or something. I don't know.
I feel like I've seen his face, so I'm blanking on who he is, but I feel like they did announce this actor and or character at some point. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure.
I was, like, scrolling through IMDb trying to find who it might be, but I don't know. The closest I found was Michael Hayden, who plays a shopkeeper, but he looks a lot older than the guy in the trailer, so... Yeah. I'm not really sure.
Well, if anybody knows who Man in Hat is, please let us know.
Send us an owl.
Help us, please. Help.
Send help.
At 2:30, we cut to Credence looking back at Man in Hat. And he says, "Credence!" And then Credence...
Isn't that Newt that says it? It sounds like Newt.
I originally thought that, but I think it's like a continuous... scene, even though it's very jumpy, because Credence is looking at him, and then someone says "Credence," and then Credence makes the room explode, and then at 2:32, the room collapses back in on the man like it's a black hole or something, and we don't see what happens, but the screams indicate that it doesn't end well
for Man in Hat.
R.I.P. Man in Hat.
Maybe that's why we don't know who he is. Maybe he doesn't last long enough to be credited. So he's just Man in Hat.
Man in Hat.
At 2:33, a carriage pulled by thestrals is flying away from a huge building. Any thoughts on the building?
So I still stand by my theory that this looks an awful lot like the Woolworth building. So I think it's Makusa.
Makusa. Grindelwald he's like sitting in front of the carriage and he's kind of urging the thestrals to go faster. And he looks unkempt. He doesn't have his nice haircut. Mm. So it might be his initial escape.
That's what I think.
Yeah, he would have had to have been there for a little while though.
Because we also see New York City.
Oh, yeah.
At 2:39, you can see. That's definitely New York.
I did not catch this until this viewing, but somebody's, like, flying off the back end of that thing.
So at 2:38 or 2:39, he casts a spell at whoever is on his tail. It looks like on a broom, maybe? Somebody on a broom. And then there's kind of an explosion of light that makes it hard to see what happened. And then at 2:39, somebody's holding the Elder Wand looking out over... New York City. But I don't...
Yeah. And it didn't...
I don't think it's Grindelwald because he was just, like, flying off on a carriage. And the person who has the wand is just kind of standing there.
I think we've reached the point where there's been too many fancy coats, because I'm trying to look at the coat to determine who it is, and I'm just like, there's too many. I don't know. This could be anybody.
Yeah.
Like, Colleen, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that it's the Elder Wand, though, was just like, and I think someone pointed this out in the common room or one of the MuggleNet groups were there, like, yeah, it like mirrors a shot of, you know, Voldemort holding the Elder Wand in one of the Potter films.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like this, it's framed in the exact same position, like where the wand is placed and how much empty space there is next to it. It's really,
darn it.
Really cool. Yeah. Cinema, man.
So after all that fun and excitement, at 2:40 and 2:41, we've got a black screen and a voiceover of somebody I can't figure out saying Mr. Scamander.
I think it's Grindelwald. Because he says it really weird, like, Mr. Scamander, and he just doesn't say anything like a normal person
possibly.
At this point.
Because then at 2:44, we see Newt and Theseus, and I think they're in the big courtroom-looking room where Grindelwald was.
Yeah.
And Grindelwald is in there, too. And the voiceover from Grindelwald says, "Do you think Dumbledore will mourn for you?"
Yes.
I hope so.
There's, like, this shot of Grindelwald at 2:44. You can see, like, these weird, like, white flame things around him. It almost looks like the same, like, substance that is that blue-white dragon thing.
I was just gonna say, it could be him conjuring that thing.
Yeah, it could be, like, a spell.
Like Hermione's blue flames in a jar, but, like, evil.
But, like,
oh
yeah.
My gosh, if that dragon thing was just a spell? How powerful is this dude? Dang!
Well, he's, like, I mean, he's pretty good at magic, like...
I know, but that just seems...
He's on, like, a Dumbledore level of being good at magic.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but wow.
It could be.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, so then Grindelwald casts a spell at... It looks... Based on the editing of this trailer, it looks like he casts a spell at Newt and Theseus.
Yeah.
And then the spell turns into the Deathly Hallows. And at 2:45, we've got Hedwig's theme, heavy metal.
Yeah.
And like some title stuff.
I think it's so funny how tiny Fantastic Beasts has gotten on the logo.
It's like Fantastic Beast
and the Crimes of Grindelwald.
Fantastic Beast.
That was the cutest thing anyone has ever said. I love it. And then this. Oh,
yes. So then at 2:51 to like 3:11, Jacob is standing in a room, turns around to see this creepy old man, and he goes, "Are you a ghost?" And Flamel says, "No, I'm alive, but I'm an alchemist and therefore immortal." And
yes!
Jacob goes, "Oh." And Flamel reaches his hand out and says, "Nicholas Flamel." And Jacob takes his hand and says, "Jacob Kowalski." And there's a lovely cracking sound. And Flamel's like, "Ah!" And Jacob says, "You don't look a day over 375.
Bless his little heart. And then Newt just looks at him like, oh
yeah,
my
Newt
gosh.
Is there just kind of staring at them. This is...
I feel like Newt's... they're in Flamel's workshop in this scene.
Yeah.
Like, don't you think? There's like all this like...
Everything's, like, the door is crooked. Like, Flamel,
yeah.
What are you doing, honey?
And you can see,
get
like,
door sorted.
Behind Flamel, there's, like, all these, like, beakers and stuff, and, like...
Oh,
why
my
did,
gosh.
Why,
and
I
then...
mean, I guess I never thought that being immortal would make him, like... Like, I thought it would stop
brittle?
His body from decaying, but...
Yeah.
I guess
one
not.
One would think it would stop arthritis in the hands,
ugh.
At least.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's, I was really annoyed by that. Like, I was thinking we were totally going to get, like, this awesome young-looking Flamel.
Right.
But now we have this little guy who I don't know how I'm going to take seriously because he just seems so goofy.
Yeah, I mean, I get that it's meant to be comic relief, but it is, as Michael would say, very quippy. Like,
yeah.
You don't look a day
yeah.
over 375, lol.
I mean, that's pretty on par with Jacob as a character.
Yeah,
though.
And
I
like his delivery. Like, when I read the dialogue from this scene, because I think this was the clip that they showed at CinemaCon, but that we never saw. Yeah. But there was, people wrote about what was in the scene, and that's when we came up with the joke of, like, I'm an alchemist, I'm immortal, but I think the delivery was better.
Therefore, immortal. Yeah.
The delivery was better than what I had in my head. It's still pretty corny, but I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, part of me really wants to believe that he improv'd that line, too. Because I just think that Dan is such a talented at the funny.
Dan, we love you. Come back.
Hashtag we miss you, bro.
And
then
that's about it. 312. It says 11/16, 2018. See it in real 3D or IMAX or whatever. Names. And then we're done.
We'll be there.
That's it.
Ah! My body
Two
is ready.
2 hours later. Sorry, that was bad.
Yeah, we literally just spent a little bit over 2 hours.
2 hours. Is it over 2 hours?
It was so jam-packed with stuff. It was crazy.
So you can all look forward to, you know, a 12-hour episode after the film comes out.
Oh my gosh.
It'll be like a live stream. We'll just keep we will not do that. Have Muggle lives to live.
Well, thank you for participating in our trailer breakdown. Like Amy said, we'll get back to our analysis of the first film next episode, and we'll read all your thoughts and comments then. But for now, we would love to hear your thoughts on this trailer.
Yeah, podcast question. Trailer. How feel?
Feels regarding trailer. Also,
or
who is the man in the hat?
Help. Legit though, that who is he?
I feel like we should know, and I'm sad that we don't.
I know.
But it's okay because we're human and we are fallible.
That's a good point.
And we just talked about a trailer for 2 hours. What do you want from us?
So with those two questions in mind, we would love to hear from you. So drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets, or email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com. Also, leave us a review on iTunes. We always like to hear from you guys, and we're always trying to improve. So let us know your thoughts. Please don't be too mean. We're also on Spotify, too, so you can find us there.
I love that we're on Spotify. It makes my life so much easier as a PC user. I'm just like, yes! So if you wanted to share with us your feels about the trailer, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpeakBeastie, on Facebook at facebook.com/SpeakBeastie, Tumblr at SpeakBeastiePodcast.tumblr.com, and you can also support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/SpeakBeastie. I'm Elena.
I'm Megan. And I'm Amy.
Case closed.